And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Hope you've had a great week. We're between budgets, aren't we? We've had the federal budget, a couple of days ago, and we've got the state budget next week. It's all about money or something like that. And I wonder what you as a listener out there thinks of the budget that we've had, well, this week, and what does it really mean for you amidst all this COVID stuff that's still happening? Did you know that the number of COVID outbreaks at the moment worldwide, globally, is at the highest level that it's ever been since the start of the pandemic? That's a bit scary. And our thoughts certainly go out to people in Brazil, India, and other places around the world. Tough times, very tough times. So, well, how do we focus after that on Community Conversations here? Our weekly special where we talk to interesting people, people who are doing things in our community, people who are making a difference. And, about 3 weeks ago, might even be 4 weeks ago, we had Rodney McHale and Christy Sumner here on the program. And we talked about good sports and all the amazing sporting activities that happen, well, around Warburton and Yarra Junction and all around the valley. And if you missed that program, it is podcast here on Yarra Valley FM. And have a listen. It's all you ever wanted to know about good sports and being a good sport. So today I twisted Rodney's arm to come back. And thanks, Rodney. Thanks for coming in again today.
My pleasure, Bruce. Good to catch up with you again.
Terrific. And sitting next to Rod is Nick Killey, if I pronounced your name right there.
That's correct.
Fantastic, yep. Nick. And well, how do we introduce you to? I've just met Nick a little while ago and find that he works at ECOS, the amazing ECOS here on the Warburton Highway. And, he's done something absolutely amazing with a small team of people, made a dream that started back in January 2008 a reality. And we're going to hear all about that. Rodney, we're going to hear all about the amazing water wheel, the renewable energy, the hydro plan in Warburton, and a few things in between. So I thought today we'd call our program Keep the Wheels Turning, because according to the definition, to keep the wheels turning means to make something happen or to continue to make it happen. And I've got two gentlemen here in the studio that have certainly been doing that for a long time. So we might let you off the hook for a moment, Rod, and start with Nick. And Nick, because I've just met you, I certainly know a little bit about the amazing hydro project, but some of our listeners don't, and some who do want to hear the story again. So take us back to 2008, and it must have been a bit of a dream. You and, did you say, three other people started? Yep. Started. Take us back then, and what was going on in the world? What was going on in Warburton? What were you thinking back then about this amazing project?
Okay, so basically the concept started, a group of us actually wanted to do green power in the Upper Yarra, and there was an original meeting, and we looked at what kind of green power was available in the Upper Yarra.
And there wouldn't have been anything, I don't think.
There was a little bit of solar,
yep.
But for bigger scale renewable energy, it's very difficult to find. And so obviously hydro became a possibility just because we've got the topography for it and the rainfall.
Yep.
And then so we had one group, and in that group there was Jeff Vickers. And then independently of this, Luke Whiteside was having a game of golf down the golf course, and he looked at the Wythan Creek, the creek that goes down the golf course.
Right, probably one of his stray golf balls went into the creek, I reckon.
Very likely, yeah. But, yeah, and he talked to Jeff Vickers about actually turning Wythan Creek into a power source. And so Jeff Vickers got the two of us together, and the idea was formed.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the notion of setting up a hydro, effectively a community hydro scheme, that would have just...
Yeah,
where do you go to get research on that?
Well, this was a problem. I mean, it's a very simple concept. You basically have a head pond at the top, a pipe goes down to the bottom, and you've got a turbine at the bottom. So we thought, it's a fairly simple concept. To actually get the project commissioned, actually up and running, it took us about 10 years to get through all the legislation, get the right people involved who could guide us with the different bits and pieces that we needed to do. So obviously Melbourne Water, we needed ecological reports, we needed AusNet to connect it to the grid, we needed, there's so many people who we needed, the expertise. We also got a state grant to get us over the line.
Okay.
So all the legislation around the back of applying for the state grant and then getting over the line with getting the funding for that. That was a very big one.
So one of your qualities, Nick, is patience, obviously.
Not necessarily my quality. Luke Whiteside definitely was very patient.
10 years, wow.
We also had, so it's Luke Whiteside, myself, Jeff Vickers, and Peter Kimberley were the four original instigators of this project. So
along the way, you would have had to have sold this idea, this notion, to the community.
So we did community consultation along the way.
Yeah.
We had newspaper articles, and I don't know if we actually ever had a radio interview, but potentially Luke did a radio interview in the past.
We're a bit late, but we're here now.
Yeah, that's right. So we did, but...
Did you twist Rod's arm along the way there somewhere?
Well, Rod actually came on board quite a bit later when it was basically commissioned, so...
Okay, we'll hear more about that later. Yeah, fantastic.
That's right. But because the plant is underground, there's not actually that much infrastructure that's in people's faces, you know? So it's not like a big wind turbine at the entrance to the valley or anything like that. It's all kind of buried underground. I mean, the powerhouse itself is buried under the second tee on the golf course, and you can just about hear it as you're teeing off, but that's basically as much much intrusion as there is. So
that's terrific.
From that point of view, it's good. And down a golf course, we didn't have to clear any land or anything like that.
Yep.
It's a perfect site for a hydro. But, yeah.
Tell us, roll on to 2021. It's working, it's rolling. So you opened in 2018, I think.
That's right. So it's been commissioned for about 2.5 years now. It powers, on average, about 70 houses permanently. So
fantastic.
It varies between about 100 houses when it's going full board, down to maybe 50 houses when it's dry season. Over the 2.5 years, I've actually got some data here.
Yeah, please.
We mitigated about 2,000 tons of carbon dioxide if that power is produced by coal. So generally it's a bit of a win. I think financially we're pretty stable.
We
can talk more about that.
You're certainly, as I said on the introduction, certainly keeping the wheels turning.
Certainly keeping the wheels turning.
How has the community responded? 10 years or 12 years on? How's that been, Nick?
No, it's very positive. We've got a lot of really good positive feedback. Just members of the community coming up and saying they're really happy with what we've done. We've also had a lot of people who just interested in ecology, and I've shown them the power plant and hopefully inspired them to look into green power. So very positive feedback on the main.
Fantastic.
I don't think we've had any negative feedback.
And aside from, well, you've probably already alluded to that, but the challenge of government regulations, funding, and so on, what has been the single biggest challenge keep the wheels turning?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge was actually just getting over the line. There's so much work. So the four original instigators, it was volunteer work, and the amount of work that needed to be done in the background. So applying for a grant, there's probably 3 months' worth of permanent work just to do that. And dealing with Melbourne Water, dealing with AusNet, who we connect to the grid with this plant. That was the challenge, is all that. And luckily we had a great team around us. We ended up with a lot of really great people from different industries. So
fantastic.
I should actually say PowerShop
was
a fantastic enabler for this project. They put a lot into this, and they're our retailer, so we sell our power through PowerShop. Rangers Council, they auspiced the grant.
Yep.
Who else did we
have? That's terrific.
We had a lot of people.
Well, let you think about it during our next song. I've selected a few songs that say something about water and power this morning, gentlemen. And, because I'm a bit of an ABBA fan, I just had to go with Waterloo to start with.
My eye had fallen, and the Napoleon did surrender. Oh, yeah.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 for my regular Thursday morning program. My very special guests here in the studio this morning are Rod McHale and Nick Killey. And we're talking, well, at the moment, we're talking about the amazing Upper Yarra Community Power Project, which Nick has been involved with since day one. And we're also going to be talking about the water wheel and a few other things, and lots of wheels going around in Warburton at the moment. Nick, money is always an issue with these sorts of projects. We're in between budgets, as I said on the introduction. We had the federal budget this week. We've got the state budget next week. It's all about money at the moment. How's money gone for this project? You must have had something along the way.
Yep. So the original instigation for the project, we had an old turbine that we were going to refurbish.
Okay. And what does an old turbine cost?
Well, that was actually free. That was at the bottom of the 18th fairway on the golf course. So historically, Warburton has been powered by hydro for many years, and this turbine was decommissioned, I think, in 1940.
Okay.
It was actually made in England back in the day, but we pulled that out.
Got
it refurbished. Unfortunately, during the regulation process, we weren't able to utilise that turbine. We had to buy something brand new off the shelf, but yep, it's
Going by your accent, I mean, you'd agree there's some good things come from England
occasionally. Yep.
Yeah, fantastic. Yep. So you recommissioned it, you rebuild it.
Got rebuilt, but unfortunately through the process, needing new switchgear and all the rest of it for AusNet for connection to the grid, we weren't able to actually reuse it.
Right.
So we've got new stuff in effect. Yep.
More money. Nick?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yes. So, unfortunately, the price of the project went up, and that's when we needed the grant, the state grant. Yep.
Okay. So you got a state government grant.
You got
support from local council.
Yes. The local council auspiced that grant, so in effect, they guaranteed it to a certain extent, and then the Bendigo Bank.
All right, we better ask Rodney. This is where the Upper Yarra Community Enterprise, the community banks in Warburton and up in Yarra Junction, came in.
That's right, Bruce. Yeah. So Jeff Vickers was our executive officer at the time and very much part of the project. So Upper Yarra Community Enterprise auspiced effectively a loan. So there was a $450,000 grant. There was a loan of $450,000.
So this is a big project, right?
The total cost was about $1.3 million, so the remaining $400,000 Upper Yarra Community Enterprise funded. So there's three sources of funds, but that's how the whole project was funded.
Yeah, and Rodney, why was that? Was that because you felt as a community bank that this was a community need, something that the community were asking for?
Well, it's just a great project, isn't it? And renewable energy is a fantastic opportunity. So the board of the day were very keen to get involved and committed to the project.
Yeah, that's terrific. And you've stayed involved over the years, Rodney?
Yeah, so effectively UICE owns UICP, which is the company that runs the hydro. So we're the sole shareholder. So any funds, once it starts making a little bit more money down the track, will come back to us and will be redistributed to our shareholders.
Terrific.
So that'll take a little while yet.
The
project was, did run over a little bit, but it's going quite well at the moment. It's making money each year.
Very good.
It's got to repay the loan. There's a lot of other costs, insurance, etc. So by the time it pays that, the money that's left will eventually come back to UICE.
No, that's absolutely terrific. And did you have to convince people, Rod, of the worth of getting involved in the project?
I wasn't on the board at the time, but there was a process that the board went through to discuss these issues with shareholders.
Yep.
I think it'd be fair, not every shareholder supported it, there's no question about that, but on the whole there was more support than not.
Yep.
And the board of the day made the decision to proceed, and it's delivered, and people are very, very proud of it, and it's certainly performing well now.
Rod, is it the only one of its kind in the state, this hydro project as it is, as a community? I'm not
I think hydro is quite unique because you need the right topography and the right rainfall. So obviously there's Hepburn Wind, so they've got wind energy in their area, and so they utilise that. There's obviously a lot of solar being rolled out at the minute for the flat plain paddocks, yeah, but for the Upper Yarra, where we've got...
plenty of water. Rain,
it's an no-brainer, yep.
Yeah.
So that's why we plumbed it for hydro, yep.
Yeah, that's terrific. Tell us, just to finish off the finance bit, Nick, how does it work now for people who sign up, you know, in terms of if I want to sign my house up or my tiny house or whatever?
And so, as I mentioned previously, PowerShop gave us a lot of help to get the all the AusNet connection and things like this. And they actually retail our power. So if you actually wanted our power, you'd end up signing up to PowerShop as your retailer. And if you live in Warburton, then the electrons from our little power plant will flow to your house. So
fantastic. And will I pay more or less or about the same? Or?
I actually don't know what they were charging comparison.
I think they're pretty competitive.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We're not here to promote power companies as such, of course. But but it is interesting to understand how it all holds together, Nick. Yep. Some of us less technical people, I have trouble getting my head around it all.
Yeah. I would like to just mention a couple of other people who really helped with the project.
Sure.
Down in Tasmania, we have a company called River Power, and they actually built most of the plant. There's Nigel and Josh Tomlin, who are down there. They may or may not be listening, I don't know. But they were there right from the start, from 2008. Nigel, the father, and gave us a great deal of guidance. And Josh, the son, finally was on the tools, actually
putting
the plant in the ground. And then there's Tamar Hydro, and they actually provided the turbine and all the switch gear to connect. And there's a guy there, David Carey, who's been unbelievably good. He realizes this is a community project, and he's bent over backwards for us. So lots of people putting in lots of volunteer time. Yeah. So it really is a community project, a wider community project.
Yeah,
it's not just Upper Yarra. So it's been fantastic, yeah.
Fantastic. And do you still see that sort of level of interest now, Rod, you know, in terms of people? You've said that people are very proud of it. It doesn't take a whole lot of people to keep it going as such, does it?
No. There's a number of other issues. Look, council is pushing other projects, and as an organisation, UICP is interested to keep monitoring and potentially be involved down the track.
Yeah.
So there's councils looking at solar ideas at Healesville and Moorfield.
Very exciting.
So we certainly monitor and keep involved, and we'll see what opportunities there are down the track.
And I'm not sure which one of you I'm asking this, but is it scalable? In other words, can more houses sign up on it, or is it reached its sort of potential now at the moment?
Okay, so the state government has got a limit. There's a line in the sand of 100 kilowatts. Anything under that, you get a feed-in tariff, so it's a set rate for the power. Anything above that, you go on the wholesale rate, and that gives uncertainty into how much money we get back from the scheme. So we've actually scaled it to 100 kilowatts. In the future, if the legislation changes, we can theoretically go higher up the hill, and there's a dam at the top of Surrey Road in Warburton, which we could tap into.
But that,
that currently is privately owned, and so, you know, that's a whole different issue. But for a long time, we were looking at using that top dam, and that will provide more power and be for longer. We could use the dam as a fact like a big battery. And the thing could run just almost continuously. Yep.
Terrific. You're listening to Nick Killey, who's telling us all about the Upper Yarra Community Power, the water project up there, which is just very, very exciting, very innovative, cutting-edge sort of stuff. And so let's be inspired by Joni Mitchell with Electricity.
Minus is loveless, he talks to the land, and the leaves fall, and the pond overrises. She don't know the system, plus she don't understand. She's got all her own fuses and splices. She's not gonna fix it all too easy. The masking tape tangles, it's sticky and black, and the copper crowd-headed Queen Lizzie conducts little charges that don't get charged back. Well, the technical manual's busy. She's not gonna fix it all too easy. And she holds out a flashlight and she she shines it on me. She wants me to tell her what the trouble might be. Well, I'm learning it's peaceful with a good dog and some trees, out of touch with the breakdown of this century. They're not gonna fix it all too. And we'd floodlit that time. Input, output, electricity. But the lines overloaded and the sparks started flying and the loose wires were lashing out at me. She's not gonna fix that up too easy. But she holds out her candle and she shines it in and she begs him to show her how. Runs all through her circuits like a heartbeat. She's not gonna fix it all too easy.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. Lots happening around the valley. Well, this month is the Reconnect Festival, running from the 1st to the 31st of May, being run by Eastern Regional Libraries, and about, well, bringing the community together around literature and all sorts of opportunities there. Have a look at your local paper. But for those of you who, for example, are aspiring family historians, the Ancestors Who Served workshop is on at the Yarra Junction Library this Friday, the 14th of May, from 10:30 to 11:30. And there's a hands-on ancestry workshop at the Croydon Library on Saturday the 15th from 10 till 12. And both of those will teach you all the tricks to become proficient in ancestry researching. There you go. And if you want to find out more about the Literacy Month, then check out the ERL website, which is www.yourlibrary.com.au/reconnect. And there's a great picture there of author Leah Swan at the Yarra Junction Library. Well, I've just been joined by Sue Yin. I hope I've pronounced that correctly, Sue Yin.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Sue Yin Chan, she is intimately involved in the Warburton Water Wheel Project, and we want to hear all about that this morning. Rod, I'm wondering whether you might give us the background on the Water Wheel Project. Would that be a good place to start, right at the beginning?
Probably Sue Yin's best
place. Okay, all right. So I'm not going to put you on the spot then, Rod, but you have been involved with it along the way and still are, of course.
Absolutely. Yes. So my board supports the operation of the Water Wheel.
Yes, terrific. And Sue Yin, would it be fair to say that you just couldn't go to Warburton without being aware of this amazing water wheel right in the centre of town? Would that be a fair thing to say?
I think it'd be an absolutely fair thing to say. It does stand out. It's got a beautiful mosaic staircase leading up to it, which people stop and look at and take lots of photographs of, and of course the big water wheel at the
top. So It's more than a structure, though. It's a community hub. It's a visitor information centre. You better describe it and tell us how it happened, and has it always been there or not?
Okay, so council built the building over 20 years ago as a visitor information centre, and it went up and down and through a few rocky patches, and it got to a stage where, to his credit, Andy Walker, who ran the caravan park at the time, was sending his employees up there to open the centre a couple of hours a week.
Wow. So it hadn't been used at all at that point.
Not at that point. One of the local groups, Warburton Advancement League, got in contact with Community Enterprise and asked them to be involved in keeping the centre open, pretty much.
Yes.
And so that was about 8 or 9 years ago, and I was working at Community Enterprise at the time.
Would that have been just after the bushfires, I guess, then, or
yes,
thereabouts?
I suppose so, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I was tasked with the role of getting it up and happening. So that's what we did.
Terrific. And you look after all the you support and look after the volunteers, I believe, Suyin, yeah. at this point. So tell us about the volunteers. How many do you have, and are people giving up, you know, a couple of hours a week or a couple of hours a month, or how does that work?
So we've actually got an amazing group of volunteers. We've got about 12 or 14 of them.
Wow.
They do regular shifts. We have two on each day. They're 6-hour shifts, so we're open from 10 till 4, 7 days a week. And they love being there. We love having them. And they're incredibly knowledgeable. And a lot of them are very long-term volunteers who
That's
enjoy
great.
What they're doing, which is describing and showcasing and encouraging people to come and visit our area.
And when they walk in, they can do bookings and things like that there?
No, they can't. But we've got a lot of information
yes.
In paper form, of
sure.
course. And we have also got a whole variety of other things, because part of the activation of the space, I suppose, to make it into a community hub was to have other things besides information, tourist information. So we encourage locals to come in, because we also we notify about fire, we notify,
yep.
we do updates on snow, road closures, the Redwood Forest, all of that. So there's a lot of activity that goes on in there. We also have a retail shop, which was started very early on. So that's all made up of local handmakers. We've got about 80 people
wow.
in there at the moment. So they're local people that have crafted things, from knitted garments to cards to jewellery to food products.
I had some of your food products the other – well, last week, in fact. I was very impressed.
And so – all those people come in, they rent a space in there, and their sales go directly to them. They pay a small rent, and then the sales go to them. So we don't take commission for that. So that's pretty active. It's a great place to buy something local.
Yep.
We also run an art gallery, so it's pretty much a community
art gallery. You're a busy mob, aren't you?
Yes, we are. So we're booked up till the end of the year. And we've already got bookings for next year for the art gallery.
So this is people who want to display their work
And that's local artists too.
Wow.
So it gives them the opportunity to have an exhibition in other circumstances where they probably wouldn't be accepted to have an exhibition. And aside from that, in 2018 we had 45,000 people come through the centre.
Say that again. 45,000. Wow.
Actually 45,500. We had about 40,000.
That's not by my quick calculation. That's 900 people a week, roughly.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Well, over the Easter long weekend this year, we had 1,500 people come through, just over the 4 days.
You don't even look tired, Suyin.
Lucky no one can see me. So it's a pretty busy centre.
Yes.
And, of course, school holidays and long weekends are our busiest time. And the local knowledge that the volunteers has is amazing. And they also, all of them, go above and beyond.
Wow.
To make sure that people that come in and ask for information get what they need.
That's absolutely amazing. I'm going to play another song, and then I'm going to ask Suyin a couple of additional questions about the amazing Visitor Information Centre in Warburton. I want to know a couple more things. So let's have a listen to Joe Louis Walker on that power line. And I forgot to say thank you to Nick as he rushed out the door. But Nick, if you're still listening on your car radio, thank you for coming in this morning. And this one's for you.
Yes, I'm coming Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And our theme for this morning's Community Conversations is Keeping the Wheels Turning. And here in the studio, I have Rod McHale and Su Yin Chan, and we're talking about the amazing water wheel right now in Warburton, which, well, as I said before, you just can't go to Warburton without seeing the water wheel and being a part of it. And Su Yin, I was intrigued that you've even got an indoor forest. Is that right? Really?
That's leased separately to Warburton Habitat
today. Oh, okay, great.
And Kim runs environmental tours awareness raising.
You haven't got possums in there while you're trying to work, have you?
We've got stuffed ones. So she has an amazing display of taxidermied animals, which native animals, which she uses for educational purposes, particularly for schools. So she gets school groups up and goes through and explains about the environment, about the animals in that environment and within the centre, and then we'll take them out on tours either down to the river, through the Mount Donabuang or to the Redwoods, just to educate young people particularly.
Yes.
And
do you get school groups come through at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
That's her major lot. So we can have on a day maybe two or three groups, and that can be 30 each. So there's 90 young people going through and learning a bit about our environment.
Yes. Yes, oh, that's just fantastic. So the centre's going really well. You've got an amazing group of volunteers.
Yes.
Tell us what are the biggest challenges of running? I mean, it's quite an extensive centre. You've got art and food and products, and you said up to 80 people who sell and swap and do all those sorts of things there. Yes. What are the biggest challenges on a day by day basis?
I guess just trying to, at the moment we're sort of looking at trying to reactivate the space. So we've been having a few buskers out on
deck
to try and encourage people to come up the steps. Because unfortunately at the moment the actual wheel itself has broken.
Oh, no. It's not turning.
It's not turning, which was always a big attraction because it made a lot of noise and there was movement. So that would bring up a lot of people. And so we just have the water running at the bottom now. But so we're activating the space a bit with buskers. We've got three bands actually performing this Saturday morning.
Tell our listeners about that.
So that's Calista College, who actually are from Springvale. They're coming out to Arabroy Lodge for a few days. And they asked if they could perform somewhere. And we said,
fantastic.
Yeah, sure, come and perform on the deck. So they'll be performing for an hour on the deck on Saturday from 1 o'clock, if
1 o'clock.
Would like to come along.
There you go. There's a great opportunity.
And that's their first tour for a couple of years now, so they're a bit excited as well. And then next week we've got a local woman called Liz Laurier who will be up again busking up on the deck, and we're looking at things like having craft demonstrations up there eventually and, just trying to get more people to come up and have a look and to come into the centre and to support the locals.
Yes, yes.
Particularly the locals who are making products.
Terrific. What about in terms of engagement with the Indigenous community? Any opportunities there with water wheel? Have you been able to, shall we say, display any Indigenous products or anything like that?
Unfortunately, not at the moment.
Okay, so there's a future challenge.
Absolutely, absolutely.
A future opportunity.
There's plenty of challenges.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of them for sure. And we're always welcome. We welcome anybody to come in and be part of the water wheel and be involved in some small part.
There you go, listeners. There's a great invitation, a great opportunity for you. If your community group or if your business or your organisation is thinking about doing something in Warburton, well, it sounds like you've got to talk to Su Yin and one of the water wheel team before you go anywhere else. Is that right, Rod? It's an absolute community hub there, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's vital and will become more vital as we go forward with the mountain bike.
Yes, yes.
Not far away, hopefully. Then we see there are great opportunities. So the water wheel's run by a board of four people, and we're currently working through a business plan so that we can look at to respond to some of the questions you were asking Sue in, so that,
right,
that we're a little bit ahead of the game and understanding what we need to do to remain relevant and to be able to deliver the services people will be looking for. So we're doing a lot of work in that space right now to make sure that the model is sustainable into the future.
Terrific. Rod McHale is speaking at the moment, and he's the chair of the Upper Yarra Community Enterprise Limited, which runs the community banks in Warburton and Yarra Junction. And Rodney, given your passion for things community, this aligns really well with community banking, the community hub at the Waterwheel.
Absolutely. And again, Upper Yarra Community Enterprise, we contribute quite a bit towards the operation of the Waterwheel through Sue Yin's time. So we're very pleased to do that. And it's not, it's interesting, it's the Warburton Waterwheel, obviously, but it's not just about Warburton, it's about the whole region.
Yes.
It's about we want to make the Upper Yarra a destination, and with other projects that are happening.
I can see that happening, yes.
We're very excited about the future.
That's so terrific.
It certainly aligns with the goals and the values of Upper Yarra Community Enterprise, and that's why we're happy to be involved as we are.
Mm. We don't have time to go through all of them, Rod, but you've given substantial grants over the years to the Waterwheel and other community projects, of course, and commend you for that. But this space in terms of the Waterwheel and talking earlier with Nick Killey and the Upper Yarra Community Power, the hydro scheme, you know, you've been a major supporter of those projects. So commend you for that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be looking for other opportunities moving forward. And of course, we've got our community grants program, and give a bit of a plug. We've given over $5.5 million in grants.
I was amazed by that.
Lifetime.
So. Yes, well done. Well done. That is just absolutely amazing. Let's have another song, and then we're going to come back and, well, listeners, you might want to know something about the Waterwheel that I haven't asked yet, so give us a call. And, we're talking about water and Waterwheel, so let's see if we can hear from Anne Murray, A Bridge Over Troubled Water. There you go.
shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine. Ooh, if you need a friend, I'm sailing.
Thursday, and it's the 13th of May, would you believe that? And with this cooler weather coming in, I think we know that winter is well and truly on the way, and we are in for some cooler months. On that note, I'm going to make a third attempt next week at having a holiday, and the last two attempts to go to Queensland have been thwarted by that little thing called COVID-19, and my last holiday was 2 days when I had to turn around and come back from Queensland, having driven all the way up there. So I'm going to be taking holidays next week, listeners, and you'll be in the capable hands of the rest of the team here and listening to some fine music. But I will be back, but I'll be gone for 3 weeks. So after that, look forward to your company again. My very special guests here in the studio this morning are Su Yin Chan and Rod McHale. They're involved in all sorts of projects in Warburton, including the Waterwheel Project and the Upper Yarrow Hydro Power Project. And there's certainly lots of things. Rod, you were even flagging the Mountain Trail. What are we calling it? The Mountain Trail?
Mountain Bike Destination Project
coming up as well. And let's just digress for a moment. Looking in these, you know, I don't know whether we can say post-COVID for Australia, but anyway, in these very challenging times that we live in at the moment, what are the general, if we just broaden it, what are the general community challenges in Warburton and Yarra Junction and the community, Rod? What do you see right now? Is it the challenge that's being put on businesses because of COVID, the pressures, the insecurity around work and so on, or is it other things? What do you see as some of the?
I think it's evolving, Bruce. Certainly, a lot of things we hear now, post COVID and pre mountain bike, is concerns about how some changes will occur. There is no doubt some of the businesses are struggling to get staff at the moment. So whether there's enough people living in town to generate the people needed to fill the jobs, I think that's a challenge moving forward. Rental affordability down the track might be an issue for us. So there's a whole range of issues like that. But at the same time, very exciting in terms of, you know, the growth and the changes in the general community as a result of mountain bike and other projects.
I've offered you a little teaser there, listeners, because Rod is kindly coming back on the 17th of June, and we're going to be talking about some of those things on that program on the 17th of June. So hold that thought, and Rod, we look forward to seeing you in a little over a month. Again, fantastic. Su Yin, thank you so much for sharing the Waterwheel story with us this morning and for the amazing work that you and your volunteer, well, your whole team of volunteers are doing up there. And on that note, listeners, we are out of time this morning. Thank you for your company, and look forward to catching up with you on our next Community Conversations program.